Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Tuesday, July 5th, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. Not the ones where I ate like an asshole on vacation. Not those. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. I'll be there for you to listen and to give advice, or just you know, anything you want to talk about. If there's things you want me to talk about on the show, I'll do that, because I will make myself available to you to do that. What else? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. So this is episode 174. I'm doing this in the safe and friendly confines of my apartment. I just finished having a nice dinner. I made myself some salmon cakes. And I had some broccoli and some macaroni and cheese from Whole Foods. And it was a very, I made, you know, the broccoli, it was just like steam bag microwave stuff. But the salmon, I made it. It was pretty good. I hadn't made salmon cakes in a long time. And I made myself, I found this recipe. One of my favorite YouTube chefs, this guy named Chef Buck. You may remember that I tried his garlic shrimp recipe. I actually did it twice. And I looked, just happened to be going on a YouTube journey, and his salmon cake a recipe, he did it and it came up. So I decided to do that. And just really, it's just a variation on what I normally do, on what I do. Like I would normally just use some breadcrumbs, or like smash up some croutons or some Ritz crackers. You get a can of the salmon and you open the can up, you put it in a bowl, and you put the smashed up Ritz crackers in there and make it a ball. And you fry it for a little bit. And that's normally what I would do. Sometimes I would add a little mayo or an egg, and then they turned out good. I made the last one I put in kind of broke, and I was like, fuck. And I got so angry at myself. And I don't know if I was angry at the fact that the salmon cake broke, or the fact that there's just maybe other shit going on in my life that I got really pissed off about. So they actually turned out pretty good. And Sunday, so I'm the show's late because I was on vacation. I went down to North Carolina and Southern Virginia. And took my mom to her family reunion. So on Friday morning, I got up early Friday morning, drove down to PG County in Maryland, Forestville, District Heights, Maryland, and picked up my parents, got in the SUV, and we drove down to North Carolina. The traffic was a fucking nightmare. It was a pain in the ass getting to Richmond, and around the time where, if you're familiar with going south on 95 from anywhere from the Maryland, D.C. area or further north, if you're going down 95, like right before you get to the cutoff, I guess like 64, where it branches off into 64, where you could go to Virginia Beach, it was brutal. And you just kind of have to be in the mindset of, this is what it's going to be. This is traffic. I have no control over it. It's the biggest holiday of the year, and biggest summer holiday of the year. Probably one of the biggest, at least one of the biggest driving holidays, if you will. And it was brutal. and I'm driving, and my parents, I noticed the older my parents get, the more they become like little kids. And it's just like managing their temperament. And my mom just kept saying, well, it's traffic. I've never been in anything like this. Like, yeah, mom, because you haven't driven really in 20 years. You're not a driver. My dad drives everywhere. And they're in their 70s. They're old and they're adorable, but they're kind of annoying. And I love them to death. They're my rock. And I, you know, I'm blessed to have great parents like them. But they were being some, at times, they were being a little whiny. And my mom, I was like, yeah. And then we eventually, I'm fast forwarding a little bit. When we got there, made, you know, the Friday night, there was a fish fry in Cascade, Virginia. Like they have, like in the South, they have these shelters, basically like a, just like an outside picnic space. And they have a roof over it. And they had a fish fry. And so we made it there, and you know, we stayed for a good while, and we came at a good time. And she was just telling me, right, yeah, the traffic was so bad. You know, normally we'd have been here earlier, but we had to wait on Chris. I was like, I took you. I got up at 4 o'clock. I've been driving since 4:30 in the morning, and I took you. I mean, she was appreciative, but it's just like, mom, come on, you have to tell everybody everything. You waited for me. Yeah, all right, mom. But anyway. So that's the reason why it's late. So I want to get back to so I made garlic shrimp for my parents. Sunday we got back. And where do I want to go from there? You know, I'll just tell you the trip. So traffic breaks up where 95 and 64 meet, where you could take that fork and just go down 64 to go to like Virginia Beach and Newport News and all of that. And so we make a stop at this Hardee's in Richmond, and my God, that food was bad. It was really bad. And like coming from a fat guy, a guy who likes fast food, I've cut down on fast food, but this last week was kind of, the last 2 weeks have been a little shitty because I was going through some personal shit. And I need to get, like, you know, when you go, you fall off the wagon and you have these moments, you let yourself have these moments and then you get back up. I had a setback and it fucked with me. But now I feel like I'm back. I'm getting back. And I'm getting back to my shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting to a point where, you know, it's like I'm shaking it off, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I just ate really shitty these past couple weeks. But that food was not good. Like it was, and apparently they were going on, that place was going under inspection and it still wasn't good. Like, how can you fuck up fried chicken? Like, my parents ordered fried chicken and I hadn't been to Hardee's in a long time, in years. I'm like, oh, they got these burgers. Let me try these burgers. And I was like, oh, I had a burger. I was like, oh, my God, this is really, really, really bad. And then there was some real skinny kid. First of all, there was some people there that were waiting. It seemed like they were waiting a long time. And one guy was pissed. And he finally got his food. And then this other kid, it's like this really skinny kid and some other kid, like this skinny biracial kid. That looked like he could have been in the cast of Kids, the 1997, 96, 97, the Chloe Sevigny, Rosario Dawson movie. You know what I'm talking about? And he looked like he was like straight out of that movie, and he was trying to raise hell with the manager. Apparently, he was waiting on his friend. His friend was a manager, and the friend had to like take his medicine for his diabetes, and there was a lot of drama going on with that. And I thought it was going to be a scene, and the other manager was like, oh, am I going to have to call the police? And he was like, call him then. And then the kid finally came out, and it was just really, really fucking weird. I think the manager should have let the kid go. He wasn't even busy in the store. Then there was some other kid who worked there who picked up his check, and he was waiting. It was just kind of sad. And we sat in there, and we ate the really mediocre food. I was just like, oh my God, this food was horrible. My dad was laughing at me. He was laughing. I was like, Dad, this sucked. I just hate when you pay for food and it's bad. It doesn't have to be like, I mean, I'm not bougie where I can't go to Hardee's and enjoy myself. Like, if it's shit, it's just shit. So we get down to North Carolina finally, and we just go through all the, I hadn't been in that area of North Carolina in 8 years. I'd done a festival. I did a festival in 2011 in Carrboro, Chapel Hill, and then I opened for Hardwick in Durham. And outside of that, and drove through Durham when Fonte was on a podcast. But other than those three times, like, really haven't been down there in like 8 years in that area. Like, and I'm talking Ruffin, North Carolina. I'm talking Eden, North Carolina. I'm talking Caswell County, Rockingham County, like Reidsville, that area. And saw some of the places, I used to go as a kid. My cousins and I used to spend summers down there. And it just looked looked different. Some of the stores, it looked different and then still the same. You know, like how stuff just looked so big when you were a kid. Now it's just like fucking small and you drive through the town. I was driving. I couldn't take any pictures and my mom was getting antsy. So I couldn't take any pictures, but it's fucking beautiful. Like the country, just being in the country where everything's kind of slow. It was good to be down there. I got to see my aunt. Hadn't seen her in 8 years. Two of my aunts, my dad's twin sister and my mother's older sister, hadn't seen them in 8 years. So I got to see them both, and my dad dropped my dad off at his twin sister's house, and he stayed there the whole weekend. And then I was looking after my mom, and I'm not saying like they're like sick or anything. I was with her. I was her body man, if you will. I was her Tony Hale's character on Veep to my mom's Selena Meyer. So I was just kind of driving her around, so we drove through Reidsville, North Carolina, and that was just like one of those things where like the Kmart that used to be there was gone. It was like just nothing but a food line and the shopping center. They still had a Belk and a Roses, so that was still open. And just drove through there, and we drove through, where did we go through? Cascade, Virginia was where everything, the festivities for the reunion were. So we were down there and they had the fish fry. Fish was good. A little too salty, but shit was good though. Some of it was kind of salt, but it was good. And I'm not even a fish guy, and I enjoyed it. And I had like a hot dog and some coleslaw and some beans. Just had a little bit. And that was good. Got to see some relatives. A lot of people that I didn't know. My mom knew. She knew a lot of people. Just not the young people. But, you know, she was happy. And then we stayed at a Hampton Inn in Eden, North Carolina. Gotta say, Hampton Inn, good hotel. Good hotel. Nice room. She got a room. I got a room. We had a good time. And then for breakfast, I went to Bojangles. We got some chicken biscuits. I gotta say this, man. I think Chick-fil-A got the market cornered on the chicken biscuits. I've had Bojangles chicken biscuits twice in the last month, within the last month, 2 months. And I gotta say, Bojangles, good chicken biscuits, but Chick-fil-A just seems like it's on another level. You know what I'm saying? Chick-fil-A, them Jones, they seem to be a little more official. That's my opinion. You know, you write in, tweet at me. But at this moment, right now, Chick-fil-A is the shit with the chicken biscuits. They got the market cornered. And then Saturday we went to the actual banquet, or the main event of the family reunion. I think there was like a 4-day event. You're doing something Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I don't think everybody stayed all. Some people stayed for the whole time. And it's my grandfather on my mom's side, his family. And it was actually at the church where my parents got married 48 years ago. It's fucking crazy. So I took a picture of this church sign. Like a dum-dum, I didn't take a picture of the church, but the church that they actually got married in, it, I guess it got torn down and they built a new one over it. So I didn't really take a picture of the, I didn't take a picture of the church. My mom was like, why didn't you take a picture of the church? I was like, I don't know, I'm an idiot. And so I'm sorry, but I just took a picture of the sign, because that to me had more like, you know, I don't know, meant something to me. I don't know, whatever. So I took a picture of that, put it on Instagram, and another picture of like inside the church, and then a picture of me and my mom is on Instagram, on the gram. And we had a good time. Like it was cool to see some people that I knew. My uncle came. We picked up my uncle, and then my mom's brother and my mom's older sister came out. And yeah, man, it was just good being around black people. Like just being around black, why did I say it like a quick black people? It was so, because it's like living in the city, living in a metropolitan area, you know, everybody's, you know, all types of people are there. And, you know, yeah, it's you're around, you see black people every day, but it was just good to have that. It was just so fucking black. And I was like, yes, all right. Like the cookout, the fish fry. It was just like, I needed this. This is something that I need. Like, I didn't know that I needed it, but I did. And it was just like, oh, yeah. And you got to check in with your blackness every now and then. I mean, there's no way that you're going to escape it. You can't escape it. You can't run away from it. But it was just like that concentrated amount of blackness. Like it was palpable. So the food, you can't have a family reunion without talking about the food. Man, that was some just good ass eating. I only had one plate, but on that plate, I had like a little barbecue chicken leg. I had some greens, had some collard greens, had some string beans, potato, a little bit of potato salad, macaroni and cheese, a little bit of swine, a little bit of picnic ham. And some roast beef, and then some chocolate cake, and some salad. And that shit was good. And it was portion control, so it was just you was only getting like a little bit. They ain't gonna give you but so much. You know, like they're not gonna, but you could go back for seconds and whatever. But I didn't do that. I didn't wanna go too hard. But so that was good. And then they started like reading people's like achievements, people that like emailed them their kids' achievements, and it was like some smart, really smart people. And there was some kids that they were grade school, and they had already had scholarship money. And I was like, "You have really? Are we padding this? Like, I'm sure those kids are smart, but it just seemed like a lot of stat padding. Like, you can speak Mandarin, really? Yeah. maybe I'm hating. I think I'm hating a little bit that those kids are smarter than I was when I was that age. So maybe I'm hating a little bit, but like, I'm like, really, you can, all right. But, and then my aunt was like, you should tell them what you're doing. I'm like, I have a podcast that a couple hundred people listen to. And I graduated from grad school, 11 years ago. Nobody cares. So that was cool. And then my mom and I, we went back to the hotel, and we went to Sheetz, date night with my mom at Sheetz. I had a 12-inch sandwich. I shouldn't have ate all that sandwich. So now this week I'm getting myself back in the groove. Ate like a fatty for about really the fatty. I'm just going to say a week of just not really doing what I'm supposed to be doing with a few salads from Chopped. But that shit can get expensive. So I have to just go to the grocery store and make my own salad. But Chopped, that shit is like $14 a salad. And when you spend like $100, you get $10 off. There's like some rewards program that I signed up that I use an app that, JL and Rod and Karen use because they go to Chopped a lot. So when I go, when I have lunch like that, if I want to splurge, I'll go to Chopped. So that's usually what I do. But yeah, other than that, yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad. On the way back, we stopped at Sonic in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Oh my God, that was some of the best. That was some of the best, like, Sonic that I ever had. It just reminded me of when I was a kid. Because sometimes you go to a place and it's just not good anymore. Like, God, this sucks. But this shit was, oh my God, it was so good. So yeah, I gotta just refocus. I'm gonna have a nice lunch tomorrow. Maybe do two smoothies tomorrow. Maybe do a breakfast smoothie and then a smoothie after I take my ass back into the gym. Got to get ready for a cuffing season in like September. When is cuffing season? I know when it starts to get cold and because I thought, like, you know, when you think you're going to be off the market for a little bit, like I was off the, I'm not going to say too much. I can't, I'll just have to talk about this on stage, but I was, so I guess cuffing season, like late summer, early fall into the, maybe like the early stages of winter. I just got to get ready for that. And it doesn't have to be like model Trey Songz or Tyrese sexy. It just has to be like practice squad New York Jets, like defensive tackle, you know, like, I mean, I need to get like, I need, the goal is like defensive end, practice squad defensive end for the Jets. And then I'll be fine. So it just has to be like Deion Cole, his new special, Cold-Blooded Seminar. He's just talking about like being fat. He's just like, no, you know what it tastes like. You don't have to go back. You know what it tastes like. And it's fucking true. And I just, oh, it's just, oh man. So, yeah, so that's what I just need to get back. I just fell off the wagon, last week and, just got to get back on. Just got to do it. Just got to get back on it. Be healthy. Where was I going with that? Just getting ready for cuffing season. Is it on Urban? Nah, I shouldn't. They say you're corny or you're a loser if you go to look up stuff on Urban Dictionary. But I just want to get the official. Yeah, it's during the fall and winter months. Like I said, during the fall and winter months, people who would normally rather be single or promiscuous find themselves along with the rest of the world, desiring to be cuffed or tied down by a serious relationship. And it's got a picture of somebody from Game of Thrones. I don't watch the show. Saying, brace yourself, cuffing season is coming. Well, that was from Paper Mag. That wasn't Urban Dictionary, but that's basically the gist of it. So I just need to get my body right, get my mind right, and everything like that, man. So that's what I'm doing, young, you know, trying to get my shit together. So we get back and we're trying to figure out. So I take a nap. I'm exhausted. I've been driving all weekend and I'm still just kind of coming down from that. Just like don't want to do anything. And so we get back and we're good. Everybody takes a nap. And then my mom's like, oh, what are we going to do for dinner? And she's like, we got these shrimp. It's frozen shrimp. I'm thinking this shrimp. And I'm thinking like, oh, she pulled it out. And she's like, oh, what are we going to do with this shrimp? And I was like, oh, let me do my Chef Buck thing and do it up. And so the shrimp was fucking frozen. And I was like, Mom, she's like, well, I didn't know about that. So we had to let the shrimp thaw out a little bit. And I peeled like 3 pounds of shrimp and cooked and did the garlic shrimp. It actually tasted pretty good. I thought it was good, but I don't think it was as good as the one that I made the first time. It was less. I think I may have over-seasoned the first time I made it, but it ended up being okay. And then we had bread, and the sauce that you leave in there was so fucking good. It's like you could sop it up with the bread, and that's something I didn't do the first time. I didn't have any French bread or any kind of bread to sop up the juices. But it ended up being solid. My parents, who knows? I guess they liked it, and they had second. We ate all of it. You know, it wasn't that much. We ate, all three of us ate it. And I was thinking, like, maybe that's why I'm a comedian. They were kind of withholding. They're like, oh, it was okay. You know, it was all right. And I was like, fine, I didn't care. It was fucking frozen. And I did the best that I could. It was a little too, it was kind of rubbery. Because I cooked it. See, they don't have a gas stove. They have a, what do you call it? Electric stove. And so I was a little, you know, but we ate it and it was fine. So I drove back to up here to Jersey yesterday, and now I'm back. I don't know how long this thing is. This episode's going to be. It's probably going to be pretty short. But so what are we? 26 minutes and 26 seconds in. I didn't see any movies. I didn't go to the theater or anything. While I was in my hotel, just kind of chilling, The Maze Runner was on, and I'd heard of it. I'd never, you know, really seen. I was halfway paying attention. It's just one of these dystopian, like, white sharecroppery movies, Hunger Game-ish. Ever since Hunger Games came out, they're making a movie of all these young adult novels, and it just looked like, it kind of looked like Lord of the Flies and Lost and meets something else that I don't like. What's that Cabin in the Woodsy type thing? But shout out to the cast and director. You know, it was pretty diverse. A lot of black kids in it. And I was worried because one was talking a lot. So he's talking too much. He's probably going to die. I hope he don't die young. But I don't think he died. But and then they had like one chick in it, one girl. And then I think Patricia Clarkson was in it. I have to watch it again. I was not really paying attention to that movie. It looked okay. But very definitely had the Lord of the Flies vibe to it. And so when I got back, I went to Redbox and I rented Race, the Jesse Owens movie. Man, that shit, like, it was, like, the movie, like, let me see what it got. It got 61% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 2.5 on Roger Ebert. I mean, it was all right. Like, at first I thought, I was like, okay, this is going to be whack and it's just going to be cheesy, like storybookish. But like the racism in this movie was dope. Like it was exquisite. It was, wow. It was so good. Like within the first like minute eight, they were saying nigger, jigaboo, like peckerwood. What else did they say? Pickaninny. I was like, damn, y'all went back to pickaninny? They said all those before they got to Negroes. And I was like, damn, y'all are going in on this shit. But it's like, you can't have a movie, like, you're going to have Hitler in this movie. So I would guess that you know, will really go for it. And it was like this scene where Jason Sudeikis, he's like, do you know how to work? Like, he played Jesse Owens, his coach. And he was like, do you know what work is? He was like, I used to have to pick cotton. I think I know what work is. Like, he gave this mini monologue and I was like, oh shit. Shit about to be lit. So like, it has some good moments. Probably some of the best racism I've seen in a movie since 42. Cause 42, you know, it had its definitely, like, I think that was when I first started doing the podcast. I was talking about that movie. But it was kind of corny, some of the moments, but like the racism was dope. And I just like how they had Jesse Owens, the guy playing Jesse Owens. What is his name? Stephon James. I like how he Stephon James. Stephon James. I like how he portrayed Jesse as like, yo, I'm not like, fuck y'all, man. Like, I'm black. And yeah, motherfucker. Like, he wasn't like, nah, I'm just going to be running these races and I don't want no trouble. You know, he was kind of defiant and everything. And but it was sad, man. You know, he broke a bunch of records in the Olympics and he just got treated like shit when he came back, and he was like pretty much destitute. And racing horses and shit, and it was just kind of, it was just fucking sad, and they really didn't recognize him until he died. It was just kind of like, ugh. It's just amazing how, like, these black, I guess one of the reasons why I'm not really, I like superheroes. As I'm saying this, I'm holding my Black Panther action figure is in eyesight, and I can look at him and I got an Iron Man action figure. I think this is just a part of me regressing as an adult. He just fell down. It's like, I mean, that Black Panther has significance because he's black and he's a superhero, but these black people in America, these black icons, like, they had to do all this amazing shit, this trend-setting, record-breaking shit that's hard to do for any human, like, and they were black at the same time. So it was just like having this great talent with something that was looked at as a cultural, as your skin color being an impediment or a disability or a disease. It's like being black is a fucking disease, and you have this disease and you still gotta win these races, or you still fucking get your education, or you still, you know, open your own business and become the first millionaire. Like, the list can go on and on. You still do all this amazing shit with fucking heart surgery, and you're just, and you have to be black, and you're black at the same time. Like, they're fucking like X-Men and shit. So that's, I mean, that in regard, like, in one, like it's just one of those movies I would say, like, all right, you know, if I had a kid, I would show him the movie, but then we would read about, or her, sorry. I'm with her. Ghostbusters, the movie, new Ghostbusters, the reboot. Or, you know, like, you could, I would show them what it really was and have them read on that shit too. Not just, you know, show them the movie, but it's a good starter for them to see it. Like, it's definitely, I would say, you know, I paid $1.50 at Redbox. I was entertained. They did show too much of, like, the Germans talking about, oh, should we do this? And like this, oh, should we blah, 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 blah. And all this other bullshit that, you know, they could have stuck more on Jesse. But hey, whatever. It was all right. And I think if I get a chance this week, maybe tonight, I might try to watch that movie, The Phenom, about this kid that, this Major League Baseball prospect who's kind of in a slump, and then he just kind of goes to a therapist, and he's like recounting his life with his like overbearing dad, who got him to the point to being a phenom, but then he was also an asshole. So I think that's the next one I want to see, and that's like on demand or whatever. So I'm going to try to see that this week, and if I do, I'll talk about it on the next episode, and we'll discuss it. What else did I want to say? Music. So I found out about this kid from Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres. This singer named Gallant, who's from DC, like this R&B singer. He did a song on The Tonight Show, crushed it. Listen to the album. Kid is really, really good. He's got a great voice. His debut album is called Ology, and it's good. I need to spin it some more times, but he's good. Maxwell came out with a new album. I'm going to listen to that. Haven't checked it out yet. This dude, so Gallant and this dude, S.G. Lewis from the U. I think S.G. Lewis is from the U.K. I want to say he is from the U.K. He's a producer, and he's had Gallant on a record actually called Holding Back, and he's got Dornick on a record who's like slowly, quickly becoming one of my favorite newish soul singers. Like Dornick had an album that was on a self-titled album that was on NPR's like most underrated R&B records of 2015. Started listening to it late last year. Really like this dude, and he's on one of my favorite records, probably one of my favorite records of the year so far, with the exception of Elzai's 216s. He's on this record called Lifelines off Zoe's album called Skybreak, and Fonte's on it. And it's just like a terrific, like up, like a hopeful song. And it's just like one, like I've been going through some stuff. Like, God, why am I talking about this shit? Like, I'm just like going through some changes in my life that I know I need to change, and I've been working on it. And it's been kind of like for maybe like, I want to say like the past 3 or 4 months, or just like this first part of the year, where it's just like, oh, I need to change this. This has been going on for quite some time, and this is like an internal thing, and I gotta try to overcome the anxiety and fear. And it's just one of this song called Lifelines, and I guess you could listen to that song and figure out. But it's like when I feel bad, like that song, it's just a good fucking song. And it's just about a girl that he's in love with. And Fonte's got this fucking verse on that song, and it's just like, and it's just really like, I guess like one or two bars. It's just like, oh my God, that's how I fucking feel, man. Like that's kind of what I'm going through. And it's just like he encapsulated that. Like the whole verse is dope. It's just it's a dope verse, but these two lines that's just like. And it's just like, holy shit, it's fucking incredible. Like that guy is a fucking genius. And then he's got this song, so that's a great record, Lifelines, off of Zoe's album Skybreak. And the Zoe album is terrific. And there's also another record, probably one of my other favorite records, this song called a Season with Eric Roberson and Fonte singing on it. And if you listen to my conversation with Fonte from last year, he was talking about, I think during that set where they were touring Love and Flying Colors, he would say like in like song breaks, in between songs, he would talk about like a season and what that meant. And I think that may be the basis for that song that he came up with. And it's just a terrific song. And Fonte and Eric Roberson have an album coming out called Tigalero, which is coming out in a couple weeks. So that's going to be fucking, wow, this is, man. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, just Lifelines, really terrific song. It's like a Lay's potato chip. You can't listen to it. You have to listen to it more than once. And I believe I mentioned the K Tronada album 99%. There's a song Fonte has on it called One Too Many, which is amazing. I love it. And that's another thing. It's just like he sings and he raps on it, and he does, it's effortless. It's really fucking effortless with that guy. I know I'm a stan, but the guy's great. So I would say S.G. Lewis, check him out. I don't know if he has an album out yet, but those songs, like, they're on his YouTube. There's a live set that he did with this other dude. So he did a live joint with Dornick, and he says the song with Dornick is called All Night. And he did another record with this guy named J.P. Cooper. So if you check out S.G. Lewis, you'll like it. It's like nice. It kind of sounds chill wave-ish, like on some chill wave Toro y moi shit is what it sounds like to me. So yeah, that's what I've been listening to. So those jams, free agency, NBA free agency. I guess we'll close with this. I don't talk about sports last, but Kevin Durant to Golden State. Folks have been saying that for months, and so it wasn't really a surprise to me, and it also wasn't a surprise that how people were burning his jersey. They were lynching his jersey, like his jersey whistled at a white woman in 1995, like Emmett Till'd his jersey. There's one picture of there's one clip of these dudes who I guess throw gasoline on his jersey near a lake or like some river, and they like shot it. They like basically like they shot the jersey with, and then it lit on fire. And it's fucking like those jerseys are expensive. Even the replica ones are like what, 60 or 70 bucks. I couldn't do it. One dude burned he burned a Kevin Durant shirt in a fire pit, and it was just a shirt with Durant on the back and 35, you know, the number. And they he wrote on there traitor. It was supposed to be traitor, but he said traitor, T-R-A-D-E-R. And I hashtag traitor and put a little fire by some the jersey emoji. And it's been a lot of those, like where it's like parents are low key teaching their kids racism. So that was obviously the biggest trade. And then not the biggest trade, but the biggest free agency transaction. Probably the biggest one since LeBron James, and folks are retweeting his old tweets about people joining the Lakers and the Heat and talking about, you know, basically the hypocrisy that Kevin Durant had. And, you know, they made a big deal. Well, Kevin Durant, you know, re-signed a long-term deal, you know, just on Twitter. You know, he didn't do what LeBron did. So all these people that are, you know, those people that are supposed to be the anti-LeBron. Well, no, it was just really Kevin Durant was an anti-LeBron. Obviously, Derrick Rose was one. And so they gave those dudes the MVP. And, you know, so he's going to join Golden State. LeBron beat all of those guys. He can do it. I mean, he can do it again. I'm not going to doubt LeBron anymore. I never really doubted LeBron. I just doubted everybody else around him. But, yeah, so it's definitely going to be. And then obviously you could just the racial undertones of all these, mostly all these black dudes signing these amazing contracts, like humongous contracts. And people like Mike Greenberg said something like, I don't know why these guys are getting paid. So I'm going to find this shit because this was Saturday when all this was going down. Let's see. I want to find this shit. Where is it? Where is it? Somebody said it would be great if I could just. Oh boy! All right, where are we? Okay, so Mike Greenberg from Mike and Mike says it just doesn't make sense for all these mediocre players to be getting paid the way they are. And then Black Sports Online said, come on, Greeny, you get paid a lot of money to talk about the same thing my neighbor does. Don't be that guy. It's like people are getting mad at these dudes for getting all this money, these black dudes. Nobody said shit about Andrew Luck getting paid. Obviously, his contract's not guaranteed, but they're hating on nobody was really hating on him. So, that's a lot of money. A guy who still hasn't proven himself, really. But we got a problem with some of these other guys, you know, getting money, like these basketball players getting money. Mike Conley got $130 million a year. He's the highest paid player in the NBA. I think right now he is as of the time that I'm talking to you guys right now, recording this on a Tuesday night after 6 p.m. So that means I ate dinner like an old person, like an old person at 5 o'clock. You just got to call it what it is. It's just this, it's covert racism. They're getting mad at these kids, these young men, young black men, for getting this money. Did Dele go to the Bucks? Where did he go? Dele went to, yeah, he went to the Bucks for $38.4 million. Yeah, so they didn't match the 4-year offer sheet. You know, these guys are getting, you know, guys are getting paid. Brandon Jennings going to the Knicks. That should be good. I like him. I mean, I haven't seen him that much. He playing in Detroit. I think he was in Detroit prior to coming to the Knicks. But I'm just hoping that the Knicks are good this year. I hope that they make the playoffs. I just, you know, you live in a, you live in an area, you want the team to be good. So it's just not depressing listening to the radio when you listen to it. Sports radio, you know. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, just enjoy the trades. Update your NBA 2K roster and have a good time. Like, why are you getting mad at this? Why are you so angry? I mean, it's hard for me to compute because I'm of the age where I remember like free agency really coming. Like, I was maybe 11 years old when Joe Montana went to the Kansas City Chiefs. And like, that's at the time to me, that was unheard of, you know, like, oh my God, this legendary, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. He's just getting dumped off to Kansas City. And it's like, well, if it can happen to Joe Montana, it could happen to Peyton Manning. It could happen to, obviously, if you see Michael Jordan playing in a fucking Wizards jersey, it can happen. It could happen to any of these guys. If they get traded, they want to go somewhere else. I don't see why we sort of get this amnesia, this like we get neuralized like from Men in Black or on some 50 first date shit where you just don't, oh my God, I can't believe that this player could do this thing and move to another team to better his life. Fuck that guy. It's entertainment. It's a sport. And these guys, you know, these guys are trying to get that bread, young. They're trying to get paid and they want to win rings. Because, you know, hey, so it goes, man. I just don't get, like, why people are so upset. I mean, and one, you know, I just happened to have on, I was listening to/watching Colin Cowherd, and he was saying it goes along the lines of, you know, even just taking race out of it. Let's just take race out of it for a little bit. If he was saying something along the lines of, the people that he, first of all, he said millennials, which like Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, like they don't really care about, like they don't have that alpha male. I think to a certain degree they do. They have an ego. If you're an athlete and you're playing at the highest of levels, you definitely have an ego and you got some shit with you that drives you to be as great as you are. But at the same time, like being a millennial is like, oh, you know, doesn't have to be my team. It could be like whatever. We could do this thing together. We can win, blah, blah, blah. We're going to do our thing. And he was saying how millennials want to move to where the action is. Like he brought up the fact that, you know, I don't know where it gets his stats from, but I can see it like living in this area and doing shows all over New York City and whatnot. You see like where the young people want to be, where the action is. Do you want to go to the big cities? You want to go to San Francisco? You want to go to LA? You want to go to New York? You want to go to the big cities because that's where things are happening. And the people that don't do that, that they stay in their hometown or they stay, you know, they stay where they grew up, they're gonna resent people from moving on and bettering themselves or following their dreams. And he said basically the most people that are probably doing this, that are probably angry at Kevin Durant, they're people that decided to stay at home because maybe there's jealousy and resentment tied to that dude who leaves because maybe, you know, your brother, like Colin Cowherd said, like, okay, like he left home to follow his dreams. And maybe a brother or sister stayed at home. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to be with my parents. I'm going to stay and do this. And then they get mad or resent the brother or sister that leaves, you know, and follows their dream. It's sort of thing like with my family, like just to really peel back a layer and to be really upfront and frank with you. I'm to a certain degree with, I don't have any brothers or sisters, so I'm an only child. And I moved away. I moved away to college. Went to college when I was 18, and that was 2 hours at best away from my childhood home. So I would come home. Could come home maybe once a month or once every other month, and my mom could do my laundry. So I wasn't really like away from school. I was away long enough to be like, oh, can you do my laundry? Oh, and that, you know, I was, you know, sheltered in that way. But then when I was 22, when I graduated, I moved away from home. I moved to Chicago and I was in another time zone and I was away. And none of my other cousins had done that. Like they had gone, you know, like basically the grandkids, you know, of my parents on both sides. Most of them had just stayed in the general area. I don't know how they feel about me doing that. I don't know if there's jealousy or what have you, but I'm a little different in that way, or like a bit of a black sheep to a certain degree, because I was the only one that left. And you get looked at as differently, and I guess you get looked at differently. And then, you know, but I think this is just a life decision that I've chose for better or worse to, quote unquote, follow my dreams. And I remember last week I was getting my hair cut. I was just talking to my barber. He's kind of like a barber and a bartender. They're both like your psychiatrist, your to a certain degree. Like they'll talk, and he was just kind of bigging me up a little bit. He was like, man, you know, you can be all right, man. You X and X, XOXO, like, you know, XOXO, what is this, Gossip Girl? He was basically saying, like, he was bigging me up. He said, man, you doing your thing, man. You out here by yourself. And I was like, what? You like, part of me is like, initially, you just think on one level, it's like, well, I'm an adult. I'm an adult male and I'm on my own. But I don't really think about it like that. I mean, you're supposed to be if you're fucking 36 years old. A lot of people. But then my family's like 4 hours away. So like all my family, for the most part, they're in Maryland, the Maryland, D.C. area, Virginia, and North Carolina, like my cousins and my, you know, aunts and uncles, like that's where they are. And I'm in New Jersey. And it's like, I don't even know where I'm getting at, but I guess sometimes you do have to think about that. Like you have to look back. What the fuck am I doing? Basically, I was just telling you guys that, you know, don't get mad at those dudes. It's you got too much to worry about than what player that doesn't even know who the fuck you are, where he goes. I just follow the guy. If you like the guy, follow the guy. If you follow the team that he goes to, if you like Kevin Durant. Oh, man, I love Kevin Durant. Oh, he went to another team. Oh, I guess I like the team that he goes to. I guess I like the team that he's going to play for next. I mean, that's how I felt with LeBron. And part of me felt like I liked LeBron ever since I saw him on the cover of that Sports Illustrated where they're like the chosen one. And he's on that picture. Like, who the fuck is this guy? And I just kept following him and just like, OK, hope this guy does well because all this pressure's on him. You know, they want him to fail. And that's one thing. Like, the media builds you up only to break you down. And you follow a guy like LeBron. Oh, fuck. All right, he got a championship. Holy shit, he got another one. Oh, my God, this is amazing. This guy's great. You can't really talk shit about him. Oh, people are still talking shit about him because he left to go to another place. Oh, my God, he's going back to the place where he started. He's going back to his home state. Oh, my God, he could do this. He's in the Oh, my God, he didn't do it. Fuck. Oh my God, he's got another chance. He's got another chance to do this thing. Oh my God, he's not going to do it. They're down 3-1. Oh no, he's coming back. He won another game. Oh no, it's game 7. It's game 7. He might could do that shit. Oh no. Oh my God. They won. That's amazing. Now you can never say anything. Now you can't talk shit about this guy anymore. It's amazing. He completed that narrative, and it was fucking fantastic. Because I remember I was auditioning for grad school when I saw that Sports Illustrated. That was like 2002, I want to say. And I've been following that guy ever since. And yeah, you just go where that guy goes. I don't see what the problem is. I mean, with the advent of free agency, for somebody that loves a sport and who is, I'm almost like a casual fan, real hardcore fan hybrid. Like I'll get excited when free agency happens or these moves get made. Oh, this guy's on a new team. What's that going to be like? What's that going to do? It's nothing but male soap opera shit. And then you come to find out why he left, because he got frustrated with playing with Westbrook, because Westbrook, they would say he would dribble all the time and then pass the ball to him when there's not that much time on the shot clock. And he's just throwing up these contested shots all the time. Because Westbrook is the style of Westbrook's play. And that's one of the reasons why he left. I could see that. But everybody was like, oh no, Russ. Everybody loves how Russ is a fucking monster. But that's the reason why they're not playing together anymore. And now the trade might happen. You might see a trade with Westbrook because he's not going to re-sign with OKC. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Maybe he'll go. Folks are saying, the nerds, the analysts are saying the Knicks or the Lakers. So we shall see. But yeah, man, just all this stuff just makes me more excited for 2K and to make the trades in 2K and then to see what happens this coming season. Cause it's just going to be fun. It's entertainment, you guys. Stop getting so mad and so angry about this shit. But it is fun to see the racism, though. I can't lie to you. The covert racism, the burning of the jerseys. It's whatever. What are you gonna do? You know. All right. So that is. I think that's it for the show, guys. I'm gonna be doing more comedy. I know I haven't been done as much as I would have liked, but I'm getting back on some shows. I have a big show in my hometown area, in my home state of Maryland. I'm going to be relatively close to my college town in Frederick, Maryland. I will make my triumphant return to the Cellar Door in Frederick, Maryland at 8:00 p.m. Really excited about that show. That's like maybe 30 miles from Emmitsburg, Maryland, where my college, Mount St. Mary's University, it's now Mount St. Mary's University. So if you listen to this show and you are from that area and you still live in that area, come out. It's going to be fun. I got some jokes that I'm working on, got some new stuff that I'm going to be working on. So giving y'all some new realness, young, and just really going to try to peel back some layers to my soul and really give you that new danger, young. So the 14th, August 14th at the Cellar Door, I'm going to be at July 9th. I'm going to be at Over the Eight in Brooklyn, New York at 8:30 p.m. Also July 9th, Gotham Comedy Club at 11:30 p.m. Closing out that show. July 12th, the RAR bar in Astoria, New York at 10:00 p.m. That's going to be a late one. Going to be a zombie the next day. The 14th, I'm going to be at UCB East, 7:30 p.m. That's going to be lasers in the jungle. Always fun to do that show. July 31st, the Knitting Factory, comedy at the Knitting Factory at 9:00 p.m. That's another triumphant return show. I have not done that show in a couple years, I want to say. So I'm excited to come back and do that show and rock with the new hosts of that show, Clark Jones, Kenny DeForest, and Will Miles. So I'm really excited to do that. August 6th, I'm going to be at Cantina Royale in Brooklyn on the Good For You show at 8:30 p.m. And like I said, again, August 14th, the Cellar Door, Frederick, Maryland. More dates to come. And when that happens, I will put that on my calendar, put that on the website. And everybody, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you, and I'll talk to you next time. Peace.